Well, you were in, Jim, you were at Selma, no? Yes?
For the march?
Yes.
No, but I've been spent a lot of time in and out of Selma. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Jim, did you meet Tom DiPietro, didn't you?
By...
The co-host, as we say.
Okay. we're meeting now. Hi, Tom.
Hi. So let Ellen, why don't we start and find what brings Jim to town and what brings him and the story of his photographs.
Okay. So, Jim, I know that you're a photographer first and foremost, but
yes.
You started out as a journalist, didn't you?
Well, I got my bachelor's degree in journalism at Pennsylvania State University.
Uh-huh.
But the minute I picked up a camera during that period, I decided I wanted to be a photographer, period. In fact, my faculty advisor actually found me a job at one point in Middletown at the Gazette, being a reporter,
uh-huh.
photographer. And I said, no, I just want to take pictures. And as fate would have it, a month later, heard about the Southern Courier starting a newspaper in the Deep South in Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. And so I went there. And
so that was a startup newspaper. Who started it up?
It was started by graduate students and students from Harvard University who had been on the Selma to Montgomery March. And on that march had noticed that journalism seemed to have a different meaning in the Deep South, particularly as it came to acknowledgement of African Americans. The Montgomery Advertiser, which is the state newspaper at the time, had one page, the last page in the paper, one section of the last page in the paper that was entitled News of Our Colored Subscribers. And that's where the local segregated high school football scores and whatnot and weddings would be mm-hmm. announced. And that was the only acknowledgement that was made of people of color by a newspaper.
So the Courier was based in what city?
They went back and they raised money, Ford Foundation, Field Foundation, mm-hmm. to start a weekly paper. Initially, they thought they would have the headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia, because they were afraid that they'd be killed or bombed or something anywhere else, and they would cover Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, those three states, on a weekly basis. And initially the plan was that they would go down there for a short period of time, train local people to take over the job, and then go off to their wondrous careers. As it turned out that we found local people that worked with the paper, that has significant roles in the paper, but not enough to maintain it. So some of us, myself and a few others, decided to just stay. And so we started the paper in May of 1965. The paper lasted until December of 1968. I left in May of 1968 because after covering Dr. King's funeral, I just somehow lost enthusiasm for being there.
And the paper survived what? Just
until December.
Until December.
I guess funding. It was essentially a nonprofit. I mean, our salaries were $15 a week, and eventually rose to $25 a week. It was barely subsistence.
And you were the staff photographer.
I was initially one of a couple staff photographers. Mm-hmm. I became the only photographer, and then, which carried the title photo editor,
mm-hmm.
and was responsible for, in addition to covering major events that were going on, filling an entire page, sometimes two pages. These are Broad Street, New York Times-style pages, mm-hmm. with photographs every week. And that was a big inspiration to just find things to photograph.
Now, was your agenda as a photographer there to mainly document the civil rights movement, or did you venture into all kinds of Southern topics?
Personally, I was motivated to have a participatory mm-hmm. influence in the civil rights movement without having to confront people and carry signs, but use my skills as a photographer. And quickly, because of the nature of how African Americans were acknowledged or not acknowledged, it became a way of treating them and as subjects worthy of being affirmed and acknowledged in visually as well as every other part of their lives. And it became, in some ways, we were a newspaper for all those people that had no newspaper outlet or newspaper connection. And so we covered all kinds of things. I mean, I did photo stories on what it was like to be in a beauty salon, mm-hmm. or, you know, the different, and it was just wonderful. Obviously, the music was incredible. And, everything about being there was incredible. It was just a big experience.
So did your photographs have influence in the North as well?
Yes. As a matter of fact, more than we could have imagined. It was one of the papers that was read weekly at the White House. The story that came down to me indirectly was that there was some distrust, this will not sound unfamiliar in today's world, of the reports that we're getting from FBI agents of what was going on in the civil rights movement. So the Courier became essentially a reality check for even what government agencies were reporting, what was going on. So it was read on that level, and it became a source of information, mm-hmm. and connection for people all over the country with who had family or friends or connections or concerned with what was going on. We took pride in being rigorously objective and accurate, but and complete in our coverage of everything going on.
So did you, when you returned, from there you went, came back north, or?
Yes. One of the fellows who had been an editor at the Southern Courier went on to Newsday, where he was the assistant to Bill Moyers, who was at that time the publisher of Newsday. And at the time, after King's death, there was a disheartening all over, but a word was sent to us at the Courier from via Bob Smith, but from Bill Moyers, saying that Newsday would be interested in hiring any Southern Courier reporters who wanted to make that move. And so I piled up a bunch of all these tear sheets of pages of pictures I'd been putting out for 3 years. I had an incredible portfolio and drove up in a snowstorm to present the stuff to the photo editor at Newsday, who said, "Wow, great, I'd hire you, except that we have no openings." And then a week later, there was an opening. An editor was fired, and a photographer moved up to position. They had an opening, and I came up and started a career at Newsday as a staff photographer. And that lasted from June of 68 until January of 2008 when we
were,
they laid off.
40-year career.
Yeah, it was a long and wonderful career. Many, many wonderful
things. So that's about 8 years ago. And at what point did you realize that your archive of photos from your time at the Courier needed to be out there?
Yeah.
A new life.
It was slow growing. I mean, I had thousands and mm-hmm. thousands. I think it's over perhaps 12, 15,000 negatives. And I just was keeping them in storage, and an unexpected flood damaged some of them. And suddenly the thought of the loss made me acknowledge that they needed to be in a safe place. So I started looking for places, and there's a fellow named Taylor Branch. If you ever read, the Civil Rights Movement.
Three parts, right?
Yeah. His trilogy is the definitive work.
Sure.
And I had met him. He loved my pictures. I asked him to recommend a place, and he recommended the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. And when I contacted them, they said, "We can't deal with anything that big. It's more than we can handle." And they recommended the Alabama Department of Archives and History, the official state archives. And I met the people there and was amazed at their commitment to what I felt the commitment should be was that all those thousands and thousands of people were photographed in the 11,000 negatives be acknowledged and have access and some degree of ownership of their own images. So I made a commitment with them that I would donate the entire collection with the stipulation that I held the copyright until they had scanned, cataloged, and filed every single negative and made it available to anyone who could walk in and see it and say, that's my mother, that's my father, that's my grandmother, that's me.
Now, has that happened?
And it has been happening.
Oh, it's in the over, process.
Over the years, and it's among the... I'll be going back there for a meeting with them in February, and there's a whole category. It was a little community, and some of the pictures represented in this collection at the Hudson Area Library show they were taken in an area called Newtown, which was the area in the African American community that my African American friends told me don't go there. You know, there's always one area in every town that everyone says, don't go there. And I went there. And, of course, you know, you find wonderful people struggling to live and survive as best they can with what they have. And I've been told by people at the archives that some of those people have been coming in and looking forward to meeting me again in some cases and for the first time. When I go down there in February.
So does the archive photos span all three estates?
They span everything that I covered. So there'll be some degree something in Mississippi. I covered the Meredith March, for instance, in Mississippi. I covered peace demonstrations in Atlanta. The courier template, because we had such a large area to cover on a weekly basis and on an intimate level of what was going on, we had dozens of reporters scattered around in communities. We covered two or three, four counties, and they were also photographers. I trained every reporter to also take pictures, which freed me up to cover the big events, the ones where you needed more than just a quick photo illustration, but some coverage, and also to focus on filling that page of pictures of something of that I found relevant. So a lot of it came from the fact that we covered a large area, but the reporters also took pictures. The one job that I did not want to have out of college, being a reporter and photographer, we foisted on these poor kids at the Courier.
I'm curious if you know about a film called Through a Lens Darkly, Black Photographers in the Emergence of a People.
I don't. I'm sorry.
It's being shown here on Saturday. Let me see when, what time. I'll have to give you the time later. But it's the first documentary, they say, directed by Thomas Allen Harris to explore the role of photography in shaping the identity, aspirations, and social emergence of African Americans from slavery to the present. It probes the recesses of American history through images that have been suppressed, forgotten, and lost. The film brings to light the hidden and unknown photos shot by both professional and vernacular African American photographers. It's like wedding pictures and
It sounds like that's less journalistic photography and more.
Right. It's not
like local studios and things like that.
But I don't know if your photographs would fit into that at all. But I found it interesting that.
Well, some of my the photographs would be of that type.
Sure.
I mean, we photographed a couple girls. The first. African-American students to attend the elite Lanier High School in Montgomery, Susie Sanders and Shirley Martin. And then later I ended up photographing, after she graduated, Susie Sanders' wedding, you know, in which my daughter was a maid of honor and my then wife was a matron of honor in the wedding. So I had participated in many events like that, and I photographed people picking in cotton fields and all kinds of. I had extraordinary access to the daily lives of people that normally do not have their lives affirmed or acknowledged at all. So much of that would be of that caliber, along with, of course, covering marches, demonstrations, picketing, and all kinds of other events that went on.
Well, I think it's really interesting that you're going to be speaking at the exhibition opening at the library.
Yeah. Yes, I'm looking.
On and
what
Saturday.
Time? What time is that on Saturday?
6 o'clock.
Yes,
6 p.m.
Yeah.
At the Hudson Area Library on yes. North Fifth Street.
That's right, in the community
in
room.
In the community room.
I would suggest getting there as early as possible. Mm-hmm. And I know that it. They say here it has handicapped access, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And but there are a limited number of seats, so I think it's probably going to be standing room only.
It's also an exhibit, right, Ellen?
It is
yes.
an exhibit.
Which will go for how long?
It's up through, oh dear. You had to ask me the question.
Yeah.
I'll find it.
Okay.
I have it here.
Good.
The opening is this Saturday, mm-hmm. and it runs until February 28th.
Wow, so there's a lot of time to go see it. How many photos on exhibit?
25.
25. Yeah.
The important thing, or one of the important things, is that the photographs, after they're shown in this exhibition, mm-hmm. are going to be in the permanent collection of the A.J. Williams Myers African Roots Community Center Library in Kingston, New York.
Yes, indeed.
But is it only the photographs, excuse me, that are in the exhibition that are
yes,
going to be there?
Yes, it was a group of people at Auburn University in Alabama, when I was down there at some event, prepared this exhibit. They selected pictures.
From the Alabama archive.
And they created this exhibit. And then at the end of my time there, they were willing to sell the exhibit to me. So I've been carrying around this exhibit of 25 prints. And there's this opportunity, the Williams-Myers Library. It's still in the formation stage. They have an address on Gill Street, 43 Gill Street in Kingston, but it's still potentially opening up sometime this year. I'm donating the exhibit to them for them to have as a permanent collection.
So how long has this exhibit been on the road?
Well, it's been essentially in my pocket.
Right.
I made a presentation to the, there's a group in Kingston called ENJAN, E-N-J-A-N, and the New Jim Crow Action Network mm-hmm. in Kingston, and they were instrumental in creating this idea for the Williams-Myers Community Center. And I presented it to them, and they had a presentation at the New Progressive Baptist Church a month or so ago, where they paraded around. It was nice to see the mayor of Kingston walking around carrying one of my prints, exhibiting at the...
So, place. In other words, this hasn't been shown a lot of places.
No.
Okay,
that's, no.
I thought the
it's
way you...
It's been shown once in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Once in this little mini five or six prints, mm-hmm. and then so this will be the first time it's actually been on public display.
Oh, great!
Since or whenever it was in the maybe 80s or early 90s when it was created in Alabama.
Have you ever tried to develop a book project out of all these prints?
Not myself. I've been blessed that a lot of people of that time have written books and have come to me for illustrations. Taylor Branch being the big one, but there were a couple girls, Cheyenne Webb and Rachel West, who were young fans and friends of Martin Luther King, that came out with a book called Selma, Lord Selma, talking about their experience as children growing up in the Civil mm-hmm. Rights Movement. And there's a local fellow there, a reporter at the time, Wayne Greenhall, who wrote a book called Fighting the Devil in Dixie, and some of my pictures are in there. And burial for Martin Luther King and the events surrounding it by Rebecca Burns, and a book called Freedom's Children that were the stories of young civil rights workers at the time that Ellen Levine put together. So I've been blessed that people have come to me for illustrations for books that they mm-hmm. put the diligence into creating. All I had to do was say, yeah, pick out what
sure.
you like. You know.
So are you still living on Long Island?
No. I've always been a fan of the Hudson Valley, and particularly the Catskills. So I would coming up here every chance I got, but once they laid us off, I tried making a living on Long Island as a photojournalism teacher at Delphi University and State University at Stony Brook. But there was really nothing to keep me there, so I moved up here. I've been up here since 2011, and plan on staying here. This is just the place to be in the world, I think.
We think so. I think so.
Yeah.
You still taking photos?
I've now given up doing anything for money, but I take photographs of the engine things. I'm on the autism spectrum, so I photograph GRASP, global and regional Asperger syndrome things, and so things connected with Asperger and autistic syndrome. I take photographs of events and donate them. There's a group called Trans Art, which features music in this area, and I photograph their events, and just photographing local community activist events for people that can't afford a photographer.
That's good to know. Do you want to give your contact information for that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people out in our listeners who would be interested in.
Oh, sure. You know,
how would they contact you?
Yeah, jimpepler@gmail.com. You know.
Jim Pepler with two P-E-P-P-L-E-R.
That's correct.
At gmail.com. Yeah. Well, that's good to know, because I know there are a lot of worthy organizations that can't afford, you know, a paid photographer, you know. And
yeah.
That'd be great.
You have a wonderful group here, Operation Unite, that I'm hearing a lot about.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they could use
you. Yeah, I see that some young girl from Operation Unite is going to be introducing you
at the
exhibition.
That's what I'm told. Yeah. Brenda Schufeld at the library has arranged that. I'm looking forward to meeting them.
So once again, we're talking to Jim Pepler, whose exhibit of photographs from the civil rights era will be on display. And the opening is Saturday night at the Hudson Area Library at 6 p.m. And he will be there to talk about his experiences photographing the civil rights movement at its, I wouldn't say its birth, but close to its birth and its height in the mid to late 60s. Mm-hmm. And the exhibit will be there through February. But if you want to meet Mr. Pepler himself, go Saturday night. Yeah. Ellen?
And if you need to, if you can't make it Saturday, or even if you do make it and want to come back and look at the photos again, you can, the photos will be in the community room through the 28th. And if you need to know the open hours of the library, you can just call 828-1792 to find out if the community room is available for you to go look at the photos.
And if you miss it there, eventually they'll be down in Kingston.
That's right.
Yes.
So they'll stay in the area.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Pepler, for coming in and telling us about your experiences. Ellen, I'll put on a little music, and then we'll move along.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in.